Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and nine months FY23 earnings conference call of Greenpanel Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Greenpanel Industries Q3 and nine months FY23 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, Managing Director, and Mr. V. Venkatramani, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the result presentation that was sent to you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin the proceedings of the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Greenpanel's operating and financial performance for quarter three FY 2023. We had revenue growth of 3.2% in NDS, degrowth of 14% in plywood. Overall revenue growth was flat. MDF export volumes grew 24%. Domestic volumes were down by 7%. Overall, MDF volumes were down by 2%. MDF gross margins improved by 123 basis points. Plywood gross margins fell by 237 basis points, while overall gross margins increased by 115 basis points to 58.2%. EBITDA margins, adjusted for Forex loss and gain, were down by 319 basis points quarter-on-quarter at 23% due to lower domestic volumes in MDF. Reduction in MDF export realizations and fall in plywood volumes. Post-tax profits were lower by 40% due to fall in EBITDA and currency losses of rupees 17.29 crores. Net working capital at 23 days has shown a reduction of 1 day quarter-on-quarter. Net debt has reduced by rupees 86 crores during the quarter and stands at negative rupees 145 crores as on 31st December 2022. We paid rupees 8 crores towards MDF expansion project during quarter three, aggregating to rupees 39 crores during the year to date. We are pleased to announce that Greenpanel will be principal sponsors of Delhi Capitals in the IPL cricket tournament for the next three years, starting from current calendar year 2023. This will significantly enhance Greenpanel's brand visibility. We will also be principal sponsors for Pretoria Capitals for their SA20 league. Mr. Venkatramani will now run you through the financials in greater detail, post which we will have a question and answer session. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss quarter three financial performance of Greenpanel Industries. Net sales during quarter three was rupees 419.10 crores compared to rupees 417.43 crores during the year-on-year quarter. MDF sales grew by 3.2% at rupees 361.57 crores and contributed 86% of the top line. MDF export volume grew by 24% at 25,410 cubic meters. Domestic volumes were down 7% at 92,809 cubic meters, and overall MDF volumes were down by 2% at 118,218 cubic meters. MDF domestic revenue was 314.20 crores, while exports contributed 47.37 crores. Domestic realizations were up by 10.5% at rupees 33,854 per cubic meter, while export realizations were lower by 11.4% at rupees 18,643 cubic meters. Blended MDF realizations were up by 5.4% at rupees 30,585 per cubic meter. Uttarakhand MDF operated at 81% and AP plant operated at 73%, with blended capacity utilization at 76% on enhanced capacity of 660,000 cubic meters. Plywood sales had degrowth of 14.2% at 57.53 crores. Plywood sales volumes were lower by 19.4% at 1.99 million square meters, and the unit operated at 66% during the quarter. Plywood sales realizations were up by 6.3% at rupees 289 per square meter. In quarter 3, gross margin increased by 115 basis points year on year at 58.2%. Gross profit increased by 2.4% at rupees 243.84 crores. EBITDA margins adjusted for forex loss oblique gain were down by 383 basis points at 23% due to fall in MDF domestic volumes, reduction in export realizations, and fall in plywood volumes. MDF export realizations were lower by 20% quarter on quarter due to price cuts of 12% and 8% due to change in terms FOB with new customer. EBITDA adjusted for forex stood at rupees 96.50 crores due to reasons mentioned by Mr. Mittal. PAT was lower by 40% due to fall in EBITDA and currency loss of rupees 17.29 crores. I'll now update you on the performance details for the year to date. Net sales grew by 18.9% at rupees 1337.97 crores. MDF sales increased by 22.2% at rupees 1148.56 crores, while private sales grew by 2.1% at rupees 189.41 crores. Gross margins were up by 290 basis points at 59.5%. Gross margin in value terms was up by 24.9% at rupees 796.21 crores. EBITDA margins adjusted for forex loss of the gain was flat at 26.3%. EBITDA in value terms adjusted for forex loss of the gain increased by 19% at rupees 351.41 crores. Post-tax profits were up by 17% at rupees 187.59 crores. Overall, MDF sales volumes were 369,479 cubic meters with blended capacity utilization of the two plants at 77% of enhanced capacity compared to 90% in the year-on-year period. Dispatches for plywood were low by 4.2% at 6.55 million square meters with capacity utilization at 74% compared to 80% in the corresponding period. Gross debt to equity now stands at 0.17 as of 31st December 2022 compared to 0.31 as on 31st December 2021. Net debt reduced during the 9 months period to negative rupees 145 crores as on 31st December 2022. That concludes my presentation. Please open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Sandesh Parmeja from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. What is the reason for muted demand scenario for December quarter, sir? And has the scenario improved in January, sir? First question.
We won't say that the demand scenario is muted. Demand continues to be reasonably good. That imports have increased significantly during the quarter, which has had an impact on our domestic volumes. So, as far as the near term is concerned, I think we'll see pressure on domestic volumes. So we are increasing the targets for export volume.
Okay. Sir, what would be the reason for sharp increase in interest expenses despite our debt going down? And sir, and what is the reason for other income also going down sharply on quarter-on-quarter basis, sir?
Yeah, the reasons for both are due to currency losses. both dollar and euro appreciated significantly during the quarter versus the rupee. So in the aggregate, we had currency losses of rupees 17.22 crores during the quarter, of which rupees 8.45 crores was above EBITDA and rupees 8.77 crores is included in finance cost. Now, there was forex gains during the first two quarters of the current year. And since we had significant currency losses in the third quarter, the currency gains of the first two quarters were reversed. So that's the reason you see a negative other income for the third quarter.
Okay. So last one, sir. So how much CapEx has been done in 9 months FY23 and what will be outlook for FY23, 2025, sir?
Okay. The total planned outlay is rupees 600 crores, of which we expect to spend about 10% in FY23, about 80% in FY24, and the balance 10% in FY25.
Great, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on the imports, I believe that the December volume has come down a bit compared to the previous month. So what would you attribute this slowdown in imports to? And has the downward trend even continued in January? That's my first question.
Okay. See, it's very difficult to, you know, state how imports will behave because that will depend upon, you know, developments in the international markets. The reason why imports have increased during the past 6 months is primarily because there's been a slowdown in furniture demand in US and Europe. And countries like Vietnam and Indonesia, which were exporting furniture to those countries, have been impacted. So now instead of furniture, they are exporting the bare MDF boards. So it will, you know, to some extent depend on how fast demand improves in those countries and also how crude and, you know, shipping rates behave. So all these factors will influence imports. So it's very difficult to, you know, say how imports will behave over the next 12 to 18 months. But, you know, we are increasing the focus on the export markets with the anticipation that, you know, imports will continue to be of similar volumes for the next couple of quarters. So while our focus on the domestic markets continues to remain strong, we are also increasing the focus on the export markets.
Okay. And secondly, any sort of volume and the company level operating margin guidance for FY24 and 5?
See, as far as FY24 is concerned, we would be looking at volume growth of 10 to 12% and margins around 23 to 25%. And we would not like to give any guidance for FY25 at this point of time because that's quite distant at this point of time. So, you know, we'll probably look at that maybe after the first half of FY24 is completed.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Can you clarify about the impairment or the investment write-off? What has driven this, any particular event? And is there any more write-off which are expected?
No, it's a one-time write-off. So there will not be any future write-off. So this was primarily, you know, we started export business when the Uttarakhand unit was in operation. I think we started exports around 2014 or 15, and at that time the export volumes was very low because domestic freight cost from Uttarakhand plant to Mumbai port were very significant. It was almost 25% of selling price. So at the time we were doing very low volumes, primarily to maintain a presence in the export markets, because we knew we would require those markets when the Andhra unit started operations. But we were maintaining the infrastructure of the export sales team at Singapore. And since the export volumes were very low, the losses were heavy in the initial years. And, the situation had improved post the commencement of the Andhra plant. I think we have had profits for the Singapore subsidiary over the past 2 years. But the view is now with export realizations coming down, we would not see any significant improvement in profits of the Singapore subsidiary. So we decided to take an impairment on the investment in the Singapore subsidiary, which is related to the past losses.
Oh, I'm a bit confused here. So you're saying you're going to increase the focus on the export. At the same time, you're saying you're not seeing it is profitable and hence write-off. Can you please help me understand?
The reason why we are increasing focus on exports in the near term is primarily because of the increase in imports in the domestic market. So that's the reason we are increasing the focus on exports, primarily to have a better capacity utilization of our existing plants. But the reason we have taken the impairment is because our view is that while the volume of exports will increase, it will not be a very profitable operation. And we do not see a significant reversal of the past losses of the Singapore subsidiary over the next couple of years. So that's why we decided to take the impairment.
Okay, okay. So you're saying basically the past losses have got basically written off now? In terms of the impairment,
it was already reflected in the accounts as far as the consolidated accounts were concerned. It's only the impairment is reflected only in the standalone accounts.
Is there any tax benefit of this, sir, by any chance?
There might be. I would like to comment on that currently. But I believe, yes, there could be some tax benefit, provided we get the RBI approval for the write-off.
Understood. Now, my next question was, in terms of the domestic market, while we have seen a decline of 7%, how has been the domestic industry growth has been according to you for the quarter? And, in terms of import volume, what is the mix? And I presume it will be more in the south market. So how much of the south market is at present is catered by imports?
Okay. Significant part of the volumes is, coming to the southern markets. I would say at least 70% of the volumes are coming in the south markets. And, I think, markets are still growing at a good pace because while imports in this quarter were to the tune of about 50,000 cubic meters, we have seen only a hit of 7,000 cubic meters on our domestic volumes. So I think the market continues to grow and it continues to replace the cheap plywood segment. But yes, in the short term, imports have taken some market share away from domestic manufacturers.
Of the south market, how much would be imports, sir?
Somewhere between 70 to 80%.
And the balance would be imports. You are saying,
and the balance would be Western India.
No, I asked in terms of the total size of domestic size of southern market. Of that, how much is imports?
See, approximately 45% of India's volumes come from southern India. So if we take, that the current, as of FY22, I believe the volume was around 1.8 million cubic meters. So 45% of that would be about, 8 lakh cubic meters. Looking at the current run rate, let's say about 2 lakh cubic meters is coming from imports. So roughly 25% of the southern markets is being catered to by imports.
Okay, understood. If I may ask a follow-up question, sir, in terms of the any number you can talk about in terms of the price difference between our selling price in South versus the imports of the thick and thin MDF in both the segments, please?
Yeah, the price difference currently would be about 25% between our pricing and import pricing.
In both categories?
Yeah, in both thick and thin categories.
Okay.
I'd like to add something to this, though. This pricing difference, what Mr. Venkat is mentioning, is when an importer is bringing the material directly to his warehouse at the port location. The moment a larger importer in turn is trying to sell it further to smaller retailers or transport it further inland, then the costs obviously get inflated and the pricing difference gets reduced.
How much would that impact me, let's say, if he was to do in option two?
Depending on, let's say, I mean, depending on the distance of the transportation or also his margins, I would say it would add another 5%-7% to that.
Okay. Great. And any development, any thoughts on this anti-dumping duty, if the industry is represented, if the government is evaluating anything?
It is ongoing. Previously what had happened was that the Commerce Ministry had recommended the implementation of anti-dumping, but unfortunately, the Finance Ministry had not passed a decision, and there is a rule which said that if you don't have a final decision from the Finance Ministry within 90 days, hence it's deemed to be, let's say, rejected. However, multiple industries have approached the High Court, us including, where we have requested that a decision be taken. It simply cannot be, and the High Court has suggested that the Finance Ministry has to take a decision and cannot be silent on this. So the matter is at that stage. We are still hopeful that a decision would come and hopefully a positive decision would come in this matter.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. We have a next question from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how are the margins in the domestic market versus that of the export market, and how has that shaped in last 1 year?
I would say, the margins that you see in the MDF segment are entirely from the domestic market. Considering the steep fall in export realizations, export margins are probably in low single digits right now.
Right. And sir, our channel check suggests that competition has resorted to price decline even in the third quarter, while the industry leaders have not gone for a price decline in the domestic market. So till when can we hold on to the domestic pricing, since the delta you mentioned is about 20%?
See, we would like to maintain the prices as long as possible. I'm not suggesting that we will be maintaining the prices if the volume of imports doubles or goes up significantly beyond that. So our efforts would be to maintain the pricing at the current level, provided the volume of imports remains stable or comes down. But if imports continue to rise significantly in future or any other development happens due to competition intensity, we might be forced to take a relook at prices. But for the current, we continue to hold on to our prices. Because the difference is the difference between our prices and imports is so significant. It could taking minor price cuts would not really contribute to any improvement in volume.
Right. That was helpful. And will we shifting to the new tax regime anytime soon?
Yeah, I think probably we'll be shifting to the new tax regime from FY24.
Thank you. That's it from my.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abacus AMC. Please go ahead.
excuse me. Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So when you mentioned that we are now focusing more on the exports market in terms of driving volumes, and while you mentioned that our margins were like low single digits in exports, we see currently the share of export is close to 21-22% of the overall mix. How much higher will this go in the quest for better volumes that you are suggesting?
It's very difficult to give a breakup between domestic and exports, for the next financial year, because that would also depend on how imports continue to behave in future. So, as always, our primary focus will be on the domestic markets. But for the interim period, when the volume of imports are high, we will increase focus on the export markets.
And just a follow-up on this, in exports, we are not selling any of our value-added products, right? We are largely selling the plain MD.
That's correct. I would say almost 98% comes from the plain MDA.
So then in this regard to the margin front, can you help us understand if you can break this up that we were at 30% EBITDA margin in 1Q, 2Q, 30% plus, and we have gone down to close to 25-26%. So there's a 4% fall. While the gross margin still look to be positive, we have seen an improvement. So how much would it be because of lower utilization? Because the mix of exports still remains same. If I see 1Q, 2Q, 3Q, it was still at 21-21% odd. So are we trying to say that there was such a sharp fall in exports margin from 2Q to 3Q that has driven this, or is there something?
Yeah, that's correct. Like I mentioned, there's been 12% price cut in exports in the current quarter. Mm-hmm. So when overall margins were around 30%, domestic margins were around 34%, and export volumes were, and export margins were around 18%. That's how we got that mix of 30%. So while domestic margins are continued to be, maintained at close to this level, although, there's been some impact because of higher power costs, because of increase in rates by state electricity boards. So domestic margins continue to be good, but yes, due to the 12% price cut, export margins have taken a big hit.
Got it, sir. I have a few more questions. I'll come back in a few, please.
Sure.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Liladhar. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my first question is related to the utilization. Can you give the north and the south plant utilization?
Yeah. So during this quarter, north plant operated at 81% and south plant operated at 73%. And blended capacity utilization was 76%.
Okay. On the export side, realization on the sequential basis, if I look at it, it's down 18-19%. So do you see this realization to go down further from here?
It's difficult to forecast, because countries to which we export have also been, impacted by high volumes coming from countries like Thailand, Indonesia, and Vietnam because of reduction in furniture demand. So yes, we have seen competition intensity increasing in the export markets also. So at this point of time, yeah, I think we'll continue to say that, while our primary focus will be on the export market, on the domestic market, we'll continue, we will increase focus on the export market currently.
So basically, we are still above, pre-COVID level of the realization. So do you believe we will go back to that level?
It's a very difficult question to answer. See, like I mentioned, as far as domestic realizations are concerned, those continue to remain stable, and we'll continue to hold on to those realizations, because we believe that any price cut would not contribute significantly in volume terms.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Udit Gajiwala from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking up my question, sir. So firstly, like we mentioned multiple times, we are focusing on export. So, and given that, domestic is impacted largely due to imports coming in, so what do you think that Q4 numbers would look like in volume terms?
At the moment, we are targeting somewhere between 135,000-140,000 cubic meters in Q4.
Okay, sir. And sir, on, like 10%-12% is the volume growth that you have said, and 23% to 25% margin is for blended or only for MDF?
Only for MDF.
Okay, sir. And sir, in previous question, you said that in exports we are facing competitive intensity. So what would be the price difference in those markets in our product versus?
There would not be any price difference, in the export markets. So we would be exporting at similar prices as, manufacturers from countries like Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, etc.
Got it. And sir, any further price cuts you have taken for those markets specifically since Q4 or?
No, we have not taken any price cuts in general.
Got it, sir. And sir, what would be our peak debt and the gross level if we see for next, say, 2024 and 2025?
So at the end of 31st December, our gross debts were about 195 crores, and I think we'll be repaying approximately about 45-50 crores per annum.
Okay, sir. I'll come up and check it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to understand one thing. The import, which was, 10% cheaper a quarter ago, now is 25% cheaper. So what is leading to that import prices are going down? Is it that the competitors' prices, raw material prices have reduced in their region, or they are selling at a lower margin?
Export prices are down. No, I don't think this is a function of raw material prices. It's a function of demand and, I mean, demand and supply purely. So, basically, when the lucrative markets for these countries, the demand is mellow, then they will start supplying to the markets that they can find an outlet to. It's a very similar model to, honestly, to what we do as on export as well. When the domestic market for us is lukewarm or the demand is not keeping up, then we would like to utilize capacity by supplying to the export market at international pricing.
Okay. Is it a fair understanding the imports coming from Vietnam, Indonesia, such players are also making a single-digit margin?
I didn't hear the last part of your question. Can you repeat that? The imports coming from Vietnam, Indonesia?
So the imports coming from Vietnam and Indonesia, so such players are also making single-digit margin. Is it a fair understanding?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And how has been your value-added mix and volume terms and value for this quarter?
Yeah, just a minute.
In volume terms, mix of value-added products was 51%, and in value terms, it was 62%. 51 and 62.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sabanji. Hi, Avinkarji. Just on the import side, MDF segment or using the value-added segment, both volume and the margin is also getting impacted on account of import?
The value-added segment also getting impacted by...
No, there is not much imports coming into the value-added segment.
But people are importing bare MDF and then doing value-added separately, unorganized player, or do you think that they continue to remain with large player and
that volume? Imports are actually coming in from the point of value addition only. So large format OEMs who have short cycles, etc., or large format furniture makers are the ones who are importing in large volumes. Because, you know, like I said earlier, that imports, coming in, being imported by an individual and then further selling it then makes it uncompetitive as well for them. So where imports are competitive or let's say substantially priced, lower in price, costing, are these large format consumers who are able to buy in bulk and who are consuming at their own end by adding, consuming for value addition.
Understood. So if you take about our volume decline in domestic market, it's more on the low-end, you can say, bare segment, or we have seen the value-added volume also decline?
No,
in this
on the bare segment. See, our value-added products ratio continues to be stable or has seen an improvement both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter. So whatever hits we have taken has been on the plain industrial MDF segment.
Understood. And on the anti-dumping duty, you mentioned that now you can say hearing is gone for again the finance ministry, since the commerce ministry timeline has been less. So any clarity by when we will hear anything on the anti-dumping duty, whether it is passed or no, or any, is there any timeline or it will continue to hang for a long time?
No, we don't have any timeline at this point of time.
Understood. And on the anti-dumping duties, the moment the U.S. and on the demand side, whenever the U.S.-Europe demand improve, do you think the Vietnam and Indonesian player will again go back to this market and the dumping in India will reduce, or do you think it will remain a structural problem going forward?
No, it will definitely reduce because they're not making any margin by selling MDF to India. So as soon as the furniture demand starts to pick up in those countries, they will, reduce MDF exports and concentrate on value-added exports.
Understood. And we will see that multiple new capacity will come on the stream by the various competitors 6 months to 1 year down the line. And we are also seeing that import is, you can say, now coming big. So in that case, how will be the, I can say, pricing and the margin will evolve? Because now, everybody will focus on the, you can say, utilizing capacity, or people will try to focus on the reasonable profitability and won't mind, you can say, compromising volume?
See, I don't think we will see any significant increase in the capacity happening in the next financial year. So I think, probably a majority of those capacities will come in the last quarter of FY24 or the first half of FY25. So that's the reason I think, we feel that demand would continue to be stable and we will not see any significant impact on realizations in FY24.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhishek Ketan from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, am I audible, sir?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, our current MDF market domestically is roughly around 4,500 crores. So, out of that, how much would be B2C and how much will be the OEM? And for us also, how would that split look like? Just some ballpark color.
See, I won't be able to give you numbers for the industry as a whole, because some parts of the industry are unorganized, some are unlisted entities, so I would not have numbers for the industry as a whole. But if you look at our mix, approximately about 88% of our volume comes from the dealer segment and about 12% from the OEM segment.
Understood. Okay. So, and also, when this lot of capacities sort of come online, so is the bigger picture that a lot of the capacities will move to supply towards OEM players, or it will be both markets? I mean, B2 through dealers and OEMs both mixture, or is it like panel-based furniture sales improve in India and most of it is absorbed by the OEM guys?
So I think you are correct. I think new capacities will focus on all three segments of the market. But I think yes, initial focus will be on OEMs because they can give you large volumes in short periods of time. Whereas building the network will take a couple of years, because dealers typically will start with low volumes and then scale up over a period of time. So yes, the immediate focus for new capacities will be the OEM segment and the export market.
Okay. Also, last question, sir. So, sir, on the timber supply, timber pricing, it's channel check suggests that in north, timber prices may start coming down from Q4 onwards in north. And in south, the plantation are still lagging, so we still might see a spike in timber. So how much is that of correct, and how would that impact us?
See, as far as the south is concerned, I don't think plantations is lagging, because we ourselves have provided almost about 12 million saplings during the last 10 months to farmers for plantation. So I don't think plantations is lagging in the south. And as far as price behavior in the north is concerned, I think yes, prices are probably close to peak. But I'm not able to give you an immediate reply on whether we see prices coming down in Q4.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Parth Bhavsar from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Can you please speak? Can you please speak louder?
Yeah, sir. You can hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Hello? Yeah. Just, I didn't catch exports and domestic volume numbers, so can you help me with that?
For the current quarter?
Quarter. Q3.
Okay. The total volume for this quarter was 118,218, that's the total volume. Domestic contributed 92,809 and exports contributed 25,409.
Okay. But when we guide that, we'll make 25% EBITDA margins, and you also said that you'll be focusing on exports going ahead over the next few months or quarters. So, do we factor, lower EBITDA margins for domestic for exports when we say 25%?
Yeah, obviously, export margins will be lower than the blended, figure of 23 to 25%. So, while we may not see any significant improvement in domestic margins, increase in capacity utilization will probably, provide that leverage to, maintain or improve the margin.
Okay. And sir, you see the import trend going down, because we don't see freight costs going down. So we expect it to continue for some time now. So how will
like mentioned, it's difficult to forecast how imports will behave over the next 12 months, you know, because it's also linked to two or three different factors. So, yes, I agree with you that we can't forecast import volumes at this point of time.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joint Trade Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First one is, may you know what is the company's rationale behind the sponsors for South Africa T20 League? Is South Africa a big export market for the company? Because now I just want to understand the opportunity size for that.
No, actually, this was a bonus that came along with the package of the sponsorship of the Delhi Capitals deal. We did not seek this out independently, but it was part of the package because Pretoria Capitals is owned by the Delhi Capitals team.
Okay, I understand that. Okay, thank you, sir. And my second question is, can you give a breakup of MDF volume in terms of domestic and exports for the 9 months of this year and previous year, sir?
Okay.
9 month volume.
Yeah, so domestic volumes were 290,731 for the current 9 months.
Okay, sir. Okay.
And for last year, 9 months, it was 270,696. And exports current year 78,747. Last year 99,807.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So just a general question, like I had spoken to some carpenters and I got to know that like they are kind of reluctant to use MDF because they say that that they need machines to use it, I mean to cut it into parts and like in plywood where they can do it with normally. So, like Green Panels, our company as the market leader, what is it? Is it taking any steps to solve this problem and improve the adaptability?
Yes, I mean, we are always promoting amongst carpenters. In fact, that is one of our biggest sort of marketing activity spends is training and education of the carpenter segment. We are holding carpenter meets across countries on a very regular basis and basically teaching them how this can be adapted. Instead of using a handsaw, all they need is a rotary saw. And instead of using a screwdriver, they need, instead of using a hammer, they need a screwdriver. Those are the, let's say, the principal differences. At the same time, educating the carpenters of the benefits of MDF, where, you know, turnaround time is much faster. If you use a pre-laminated MDF, where they, as opposed to plywood, where they have to stick a laminate and wait for 3 days for it to dry, the pre-laminated MDF reduces that time drastically. So they are able to take on more projects and increase their own income. So this is always an ongoing, and if you see, many areas, the carpenters have very well, warmed up to the idea and adopted MDF as the preferred material. It's a slow process, but it's obviously, it's ongoing.
Okay, got it. Great, sir. And sir, just wanted to know, like the imports, like I just wanted a clarification, sir, because in January, have the imports started slowing down a bit in the last 10 days, in the middle of January or something?
We don't yet have the data for January, so we may not. We don't want to comment on that yet till we have the confirmed data.
Okay, sir. No issues. And sir, just one last question. I wanted to know if it's possible for you to disclose the advertisement cost for the IPL branding that you have signed?
We would prefer not to disclose this in this forum.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Meeraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I had one basic question, sir. Wanted to understand the capex which you talked about earlier of 600 crores. Where are we spending this? Which capacity are we increasing? Just wanted to know that. That is my first question.
This is being spent purely on the new MDF line that we are installing as a brownfield expansion in our Andhra Pradesh site in Srikalahasti. So we are adding another 28 meter press with a capacity of about 230,000 cubic meter.
Understood. Okay. And my second question would be, sir, seeing the demand scenario currently, the market scenario only that we are being influxed with imports, would you have any thoughts on revisiting the idea for CAPEX or are you still going ahead with it?
No, what we'd like to do, of course, is that by the time this this new line comes on, which will be in the middle of FY25, we'd like to be at full capacity in both our existing lines. One other thing, of course, which is a silver lining, is that this new line that we are setting up would primarily be focused on, it's specialized to produce thin MDF. And today, our Andhra facility is not well equipped to produce thin MDF. In fact, certain products, which are very, very important, we don't produce at all. So the idea would be both for export and domestic markets specialize or focus on producing thin MDF on the new line and continue producing thick MDF on the current line in order to enhance efficiency within the plant. So we'll be able to enter the product segment which we are currently not really strongly existing in the south of India.
Understood. And would there be any other players in the thin MDF side, or how is the scenario on thin MDF side currently? It would be, the prospects would be looking good right now.
No, sure. For example, today pretty much all producers, including us in the north, are producing thin MDF. Lucille is producing some thin MDF in the south of India. Imports are coming up, coming in a big way. So thin MDF is a very prominent, I would say 30 to 35% of the total MDF market consists of thin MDF category.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Hasmukh Visharia from Sud Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. Firstly, you mentioned about low single-digit margins for players of Vietnam and Indonesia. So is it fair to assume that, let's say, decline in import realizations will be capped at this level? At the level of basically these guys are able to make positive margins?
You mean to say for the importers or for the companies that are exporting to India?
Yeah, companies.
Yes.
Well, see, a lot of it boils down to their own raw material cost as well as their currency against the dollar. But, I mean, if I look at the historical numbers, I would say we are already at like rock bottom levels with the import pricing.
Okay. So that means import realizations or import prices will not go down much from this level. So the gap between...
unless they have a very strong depreciation of the country of their currency against the dollar, I don't foresee that happening.
Okay, so the gap between our prices and theirs will not, let's say, move from 25% much now.
We will not widen further, yes.
Okay, fine. Secondly, just a bookkeeping question from the presentation. Let's say on slide 30, if I look at your, let's say, graph of annual demand, so that is 9.3% CAGR from, let's say, FY21 to 26 in terms of demand
revenue. And if I look at slide number 33, there you have given 20-25% production capacity expansion. So how this two number, let's say, matches, or it is an error or something?
Could you mention the slide number? The first one was?
Slide number 30.
30?
29. Yeah, 29 of the presentation.
Okay.
Where you have given the size of the MDF market from 3,200 crore to 5,000.
Okay.
And second is the slide number 32, where you have returned that further it is expected to witness CAGR of 20-25% for the period from 21 to 26 in terms of capacity expansion or production expansion. Yeah.
I'll just check on that and revert.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Okay. Thank you. That's it from me. Thank you.
Please give me a call on Thursday or Friday.
Okay. Sure. Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Avesh Bagadia from Piper Serica. Please go ahead.
Sorry, my answer has been already answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I had one question in relation to the industry. There are two plants which are expected to become operational, one in this quarter century and another one in the first quarter of FY24. Do you think that can put pressure on the domestic margins, or how do you see that scenario playing itself out, or do you believe the demand is robust enough to take care of it?
You see, I don't see that there will be any substantial price reductions, especially on account of new capacities coming in, because I think all domestic producers have learned the hard way that reduction of pricing is not a solution to increase volumes. And I think if you look at the past couple of years, you must have noticed that there hasn't been no significant price reductions, even in times of demand pressure or surplus supply, which is also the prevailing situation today. So I don't see a challenge in terms of margins reducing. Yes, there will be a fight for market share happening, but I don't see a challenge for realization dropping.
Yeah, but then when it comes to a price for market share, then you might see other things like your dealer commissions or your dealer incentives in terms of working capital kind of go up. Do you see that as a risk, or do you see that the growth is still 15-20%, because the two capacities together will probably add around 15-odd% to the industry capacity? Do you see that can get absorbed?
I don't see that could be a challenge. I think we will be okay. We won't foresee that to be a challenge in terms of margins.
Okay. And second thing is, in terms of the fact that now the export prices have kind of or the import markets have opened up and export prices have come down, do you see some of the unorganized sectors still wanting to get into MDF, or do you see them kind of taking a little bit of a backseat?
See, unorganized sector has a significant share in terms of capacity, but in terms of market share, they have a much lower share. So I think they will continue to exist in the current form, where I would say probably the market share is around 15-16%. But we don't expect to see any significant increase in their market share in future.
So you are saying that the new plants which are potentially coming up, they might stop, the new plants might not come up over the next 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, the major expansions are happening on the side of the organized player.
Okay. Thanks, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. We have a question from the line of Shubham Thorat from Perpetual Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Before that, just one clarification. You have mentioned that the imports are largely from plain MDF bag and not the value-added segment. Can you give the reasoning for that? Why is it so?
I can't tell you what the reason is. It could possibly be because of the fact that they do not produce much of the value-added products. Even if you look in India, there are some manufacturers who do not, who have a very low share of the value-added segment. So I can't give you any reason why that is so. But if you look at, our share of value-added products, it's continued to remain stable this year. So it was about 49% in volume terms and 60% in value terms in Q1, 50 and 61% in Q2, and 51 and 62% in Q3. So the fact that we have been able to maintain our share of value-added products, gives strength to the argument that, imports are not focusing on the value-added segment. Because, OEMs do not purchase much of the value-added products. They primarily focus on the plain industrial products. If you want to sell more of the value-added products, you have to have a deep penetration in the dealer network. So that's probably the reason why imports are focused primarily on the plain industrial MDF.
Okay, clear enough. Thank you for that. And my first question would be, you had mentioned that your primary focus will be on increasing the domestic volumes. So how do you plan on to maintain this current domestic volumes or if not to increase in light of increased imports and the differential, the price differential from our pricing point of view?
So we are taking some steps, to reduce the impact of imports. I would not like to clarify at this point of time what those steps are. But we are taking our steps to, increase our focus on the domestic markets.
Okay, thank you. And my last question would be, if you can give some clarity on what was the raw material pricing scenario in the quarter three, and how is it behaving in the quarter four as we are already a month past in the Q4?
See, in quarter three, wood prices were quite stable, and we had seen some reduction in the resin side. In January, we had seen some increase in resin prices, but we'll have to, look at the next couple of quarters to understand whether it's for the short term or the medium term or the long term. So, since it's been there for just a few days, probably about 15 days in this month, so we'll have to look at the future before I can, give a realistic idea of how raw material prices will behave in future.
Okay, great, Naga. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Senthil Nathan KR from Nafa Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, how our working capital days will be going forward? Because when we start focusing on more on exports going incrementally, will it be same or will it be increasing slightly?
No, it won't increase because we focus on working capital, whether it's the domestic segment or the export market. So we continue to remain focused on the working capital days. So we do not extend any additional credit, whether it be the domestic markets or the export markets.
Okay. And next question is, how much is our dealer network as of last quarter and vis-a-vis last year?
Okay. I have not checked the figures of this quarter. So, I'll probably give you that number after the March quarter.
Sure. And sir, just want to understand on the forex part, is it arising because of our forex loan or it's also because of our exports revenue as well? We are booking the invoice and then when we are receiving it, we are booking the currency loss or currency gain.
Yeah, it's a mix of both. So the major part of it is happening because of the foreign currency borrowing. You know, if you look at, I think it's note number 3 of the results, we have given the data for forex losses on the international currency borrowings. But that's not the entire part of the forex losses. So we have also had some you know, losses on account of exports or imports or even against, you know, buyer credits taken against machinery imports, which we had done for the expansion last year.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Arun Baid from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one clarification, sir. Like from our strategy perspective, do we think that branding and distribution is the key going ahead from our perspective to counter the imports?
Going forward, that will definitely make a difference. You see, when we move away from a commodity segment to a branded product segment, that will, if you see how plywood has panned out historically, you know, although imports of plywood is abundantly available since it's been decommoditized and, you know, become a branded product segment, you know, imports are not really a prevailing threat. So going forward, we see a lot of value in creating a brand for this because so far we've been trying to educate the people about the category, but I think now we are at a position where people are fairly aware of what MDF is, and it will be a good time to enter into this, you know, into this activity of creating a brand and decommoditizing our product from the others.
Okay. And just one more clarification. Somewhere in the call, I heard that your guidance for next year in the margin front is 20-25%, which looks a bit low because even in this quarter, when your domestic volumes degrew, and exports grew significantly, I'm talking for the quarter, your margins were 25.6%. So am I missing something or that is the real thing?
I think we will be somewhere in the range of 25-26% going forward as well. We should be able to maintain that.
Thanks for that. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Viral Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you can quantify how much, you know, degrowth we have seen in the low and industrial grade MDF segment that you have talked about earlier.
Yeah, see, our share of value-added products has been stable. So whatever degrowth has happened in the industrial segment only.
Okay, so entire degrowth has came from the industrial segment. And I've...
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so what is your sense on the import, that will it remain at the current level or will it increase looking at the stable demand scenario, at least in India?
It's difficult to give a reply, you know, because it's dependent on, I would say, a mix of three factors, how furniture demand improves in US and Europe, international freight prices, crude price movements. So it's a mix of various factors. So you know, it's difficult to give a view on how imports will behave in the short, medium, or long term.
Okay. And so lastly, sir, what is the rationale for the 12% price cut in the export segment? Sir, is it due to the fall in the raw material environment, or is it a function of low demand? Scenario.
No, it's basically we have to match prices with exporters from Thailand, Vietnam, and Indonesia, with whom we are competing in the international markets.
So exactly. So my point was that only, sir, if import coming at the lower price, so what is benefiting them?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
So if imports, if let's say, you know, players from Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, they are selling at a cheaper price, so what is benefiting them, sir?
We are talking here that we have to match prices in the markets we are exporting to with the prices of suppliers from Thailand, Malaysia to those countries as well. So as you see, overall export international market pricing has gone down. It is the same thing that you see in India as well, where imports have become cheaper. The same thing is happening for the UAE market, for other Middle East countries, and we have to match. We have to be competitive with them. Hence, the reduction in our export pricing.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Hina from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to understand on the MDF OEM side, especially in the south and west to that extent, are most OEMs or consumers in the coastal regions, do they just happily shift between domestic and imports just because the cost makes sense? Or are there sufficient OEMs or consumers in the south that we have a fighting chance?
So it is purely a function of pricing, especially for the large format OEMs. However, there are certain OEMs who are using value-added products, and there are certain OEMs, whose consumption may not be to the tune where exports is, let's say, they're happier to pay a premium for a domestic product as opposed to going through the process of importing in large volumes, having LC facilities, having the risk of foreign exchange fluctuations. So there is a mix. However, the large format OEMs, which are big consumers, are obviously very, very price conscious, and the choice between domestic and exports is easily swayed based on the pricing difference.
Okay. So as a percentage, how much would these smaller OEMs or the more value-added OEMs be?
It's hard to put a number to that, but I would say, almost 60-70% of OEMs fall in that large format category. Because you see, the other challenge we have in tracking this is when it's a smaller sized OEMs, our company may not necessarily service them directly, but route the sales through our dealer network, and we don't have that secondary sales data from the dealer network.
Sure. All right.
So that will reflect in our regular retail sales.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dipanshu from Shivansh Holdings LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the result. I just wanted to understand, in your initial commentary, you mentioned that you would be focusing on about 1.35 to 1.4 lakh CVM for the fourth quarter. So are we trying to say that this full year would be a muted growth of say 5% kind of?
Yeah, that's correct.
And in that case, how do we see FY24 panning out with all these imports coming out? Do we plan to do a double-digit volume growth?
Yeah, we are looking at a double-digit volume growth in FY24.
Okay. Sir, I also wanted to understand the IRR and the calculation, what you are trying to do on the new capital expenditure. It's a 600 crore kind of capital expenditure what we are doing. And as the margins are coming down, so how we see this impacting our budgeting and planning for FY25 and 26? Because the payback period should start to increase accordingly.
Sorry, please repeat that again.
Yeah. So I wanted to understand that with EBITDA margins coming down comparatively because of imports, so how do we see, are we trying to rethink about our say entire expansion plan of 600 crores? Because already almost the payback period is 4.5 years.
We are not going to rethink that. As I mentioned earlier, that we'd like to be at full capacity at both our existing production facilities by the time this comes online in the middle of FY25. Also, as I mentioned, that with this product we'll be able to cater to a segment where we are currently not very prevalent in, which is the thin MDF segment. That would allow us to take a market share at a much faster pace, because we are currently not really very strong in that segment as a company.
Okay, sir. So another question what I have on the current situation. So as we are participating in IPL and we are trying to go towards say higher amount of advertisement expenditure, in your last con call you mentioned that you would be increasing your advertisement etc. towards about say 2-2.5%. So do you see this benefiting us in our value added products, and are you increasing on the products mix over there? Are you increasing more SKU in your value added products?
So, you know, we've recently launched a few value added products. We launched fire retardant MDF. But the whole objective of this branding exercise, like I mentioned earlier as well, is to also, you know, basically try to decommoditize the product, you know, our company and our products from the competition, and create a brand recall where across all product segments there can be a premium that can be commanded based on the brand recall and the brand value. Hence, the activity of you know, enhancing the brand value is being undertaken. So we feel that not just on value-added products, but across all products, we'll get some benefit from this spending.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Venkat. In the notes, you mentioned that close to 60 to 65 crore of power and other subsidy was supposed to receive from the state government. However, we have not received, and hence we have not booked. So any reason why state is not, I can say, provided despite the approval from the state?
Sorry, are you talking about the subsidy here?
Yes, yes. So in the North Shore account, you mentioned that close to 50-55 crore subsidy was approved by the state, but you have not received yet, and hence you have not provided.
Approved by the state, but not disbursed.
So why you have not received despite the approval from the state?
No, the approval is only for the GO amount, the 30 so far. See, basically there are two stages of these subsidies, okay? We are entitled to receive to the tune of 60-65 crores, like you said. However, that is firstly divided into two parts. One is the capital subsidy on account of the new investments we made, and the other is the electricity subsidy which the state government has promised us at the rate of 1 rupee per unit, okay? Out of this, part of the capital subsidy has only been sanctioned so far, where a government order has actually been issued. So, and the balance is still in process, but the government order has not been issued. Hence, we are not in a position to recognize that till a government order is officially issued.
So is there any probability that we will receive, or I think there is no probability of receipt of that?
Sunny?
So is the probability that sooner or later we will receive the this subsidy, or it is very difficult to comment on that part?
I mean, I'm quite sure that the government will stand to its commitment. Question is when and, you know, in what time frame, because this technically is a statutory or a legal obligation on the state government's part, which has been committed to us. Okay. So, I'm pretty sure that we will eventually receive it, but it's a matter of time.
It was till December 22 only, right? After that, there is no all the benefit has been left, right? Has been over from December 22 onwards, right?
No, these subsidies, I mean, these are old subsidies which are due to us.
Well, I'm saying from January onwards, is there any subsidy which is due, or all the subsidy has been over from December 22?
No, on the recurring subsidy was only on account of electricity at the rate of 1 rupee per unit, which is still ongoing.
Understood. So as of now, we are not booking anything because of the, we have not received it.
Yeah. Because we have not received it, and we are not sure when we'll receive it.
Understood. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sendil Kumar from Joindre Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again, sir. My question is regarding this domestic MDF volume.
the last con call Mariners guided for a 12% domestic MDF volume growth. As per my calculation, the 9 month of FY23, we have registered 7.40% growth in MDF volume. So I just want to understand from the management, is it now we still stick to this 12% guidance for FY23? Because now
FY23, I don't think the 12% is achievable. However, going forward next year, I think we'd like to give a broader range of 10 to 15% growth in terms of volume for the next year.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand the Q4 volume that you have given, mentioned 135,000 to 140,000. So is this be largely led by exports or is it the domestic market that you're being optimistic on?
This would be, I would say, in this number, about 35 to 40,000 would be exports.
Okay, 35 to 40,000.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We thank everyone for joining this call. If anyone has further questions, please feel free to reach out to us. And we look forward to speaking to you again at the end of the next quarter and the financial year. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
Thank you.
And have a good day.
On behalf of Green Panel Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.